Horn's staff was trying to be careful, conscientious, and smart. Right after his speech, they hustled the popular mayor out of Dudley Stadium like an unpopular Saturday afternoon football referee. A gray limousine was waiting, and the air conditioner had it ice cold. Big, sweaty men pressed inside the car like sides of beef, 8 of them. The mayor's speech had gone extremely well. Santo Massimino had delivered on nearly all of his arrogance, but you wouldn't have guessed it from the conversation. Horn had been pushed in back between his advancement, Potty Lynch, an alderman, and a black Secret Service man named Ozzy. The mayor was squirming. "What is, going on here?" He kept projecting his soft voice into the front. He was clearly agitated by the unexpected state troopers at Dudley Field, also by the state Cadillac, and by Ozzy. "Where's the parade convertible?" he asked. "And what is going on?" The chauffeur carefully guided the big car through the quiet stadium back lots. The limousine passed through rows of orange school buses, through spotless alleyways, under brick arches and hanging vines. The car glittered everywhere. "No more convertibles," Jap Quarry smiled at his friend's question. "Parade's over, baby." "They don't make convertibles in Detroit anymore," the alderman said. Santo Massimino, New Yorker masquerading as Californian, was studying the windshield like it was an important map. At that point, the chauffeur took 2 wheels of the Cadillac, bang, thud, over a hump of sidewalk. Everyone thought, "Gunshot!" All 8 men were disconnected for a minute. When the car wheels were properly on the road again, Horn lit up a cigarette. In between slow puffs, he cracked a few jokes about his naiveness, about everyone else's bad nerves. Potty Lynch eventually turned sideways and started to give him his good, blue-eyed donkey advice. Lynch had ridden in cars with the Kennedys. He said, "Jimmy, listen to me." He was Pat O'Brien incarnate. "See, the ball's in our court. See, we're experienced in this incredibly miserable shit. We have to watch out for you, because you won't be able to watch out for yourself." This Boston posturing only served to set Horn off again. Maybe it was because Lynch's attitude was so know-it-all. "What's this we?" Jimmy Horn asked in the habitually sweet-sounding voice. "Do you have a frog in your pocket?" He toyed with the veteran. "What's this we stuff, Jap? You won't mind telling me." Jap Quarry only laughed. "This man's trying to be your friend, don't you see?" he said without turning to the back. "Besides, the whole affair's going to be too big to start bringing your own personal feelings in. Join the Horn team, man." Horn looked around and deadpanned the Secret Service man. "I'm James Lee Horn," he said, "and I'm running for United States Senator. I'm awful glad to meet you." The Secret Service man had a surprisingly human laugh. "I'm not a Tennessee resident," he cracked. Santo Massimino finally turned around. He lowered tinted sunglasses onto a large, pocked nose. "Very, very nice speech back there," he grinned. "You're very good." Horn smiled softly. He patted his haircut. As the limousine waited quietly under a red light at West End Avenue, a motorcycle escort swept up on both sides. The cycles stopped extremely close, idling within an arm's length of the car. "Silent, 3 ring, and lead on Lochinvar," signs were exchanged back and forth through the windows. Sirens wailed, then wailed again at a higher pitch. The small motorcade ran all the other traffic lights to Midtown and Roger Miller. As they reached 10th Street, a green and white country squire shot up alongside of them. Jimmy Horn looked out, frowned, then smiled into the lens of a handheld Ariflex movie camera.